Okay, Shalom Uvracha to all. Welcome back to our Frun Family Shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. We are learning as always the Zecher Nishmas and Lulu Nishmas and Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, and we are daven that the Neshama Shavuzchus Zechira Latova and Aliyah Latova in the merit of our Devarei Torah that we will share. We continue to thank the Frun family very, very much for their unwavering commitment to the memory of their mother and the schus of these divrei Torah, Baruch Hashem. So we are starting a new chapter in the Sefer, chapter 27, proper and improper motive. So when we behave a certain way in our avodas Hashem, we have to identify what's motivating me to do this, not only what is the action that I'm doing, but what's the motivation behind the action. Okay. We have, it's contemplating. So first what you have to do is contemplate each ratzon. You have to consider the ratzon, you have to consider the desire, contemplate the desire, and figure out what is motivating you to behave in a certain way. We have described the topology, like topography of the land. So we have described the topology of the human personality. The human personality has three layers. What are the three layers of the human personality? The innermost layer, or the force, is Hashem's will. It's funny, I had a lot of driving today. So I was in Flatbush in the morning, I was in Manhattan in the afternoon. Baruch Hashem, I'm more close to home this evening. So in the morning, I was listening to Shiva Rabbi Zav Laff. It was on Parshas Mishpatim, so some of the ideas I had heard about. But you know what he was speaking about? Ritzoninu laso ritzoncha. And I was really smiling. He was speaking about what we've been speaking so much about. Our will is really to do Yura. Remember we spoke about the genes from the Salvation Army. I've told it to you before in his name. He says that sometimes we behave in a certain way because of cultural pressure, shibun machos, not in terms of the philosophy or the outlook or the culture. He said nobody would come to this world, I've told this to you before, and want to pay $250 for ripped jeans. He says you could get them for free in the Salvation Army. Why would anybody want to buy those? But culture makes you do a certain thing. So he was talking about the deep force of a human being is ritzoneinu laso ritzoncha. Therefore, when a person is forced to do a mitzvah, they're not really forced to do a mitzvah, and that ties in exactly to what the Mechaber is saying. I was just listening to him just this morning, the shira that I chose. That's what he was speaking about. So he said, when you're forced to do a mitzvah, you're not really forced to do the mitzvah. Why? The Gemara has a term, kofin oso adcha omer rotzeh ani. You force him until he says, I want. So how could he, you take that as he has a ratzon to do the mitzvah. He doesn't have a ratzon to do the mitzvah. He was forced to do it. No, because what really wants to do the mitzvah is the inner essence, the innermost layer or force is Hashem's will. And that's dormant inside of all of us, even if we don't recognize it. So when a Jew is forced to do the right thing, he's not being forced. What you're doing is actually giving expression to his deepest desire and allowing freedom of the soul to come forth. The innermost layer or force is Hashem's will, which is referred to in the Sfarim HaKadoshim as the point of the Shekhinah. And the point of the Shekhinah, the point of the Divine Presence inside each one of us, rests in the Neshama. We're coming up to next week is Parshas Truma. Next week is Parshas Truma. Bezar Hashem 25a, Vasuli Mikdash, it's so famous, you all know this. Veshachanti Besocham, it doesn't say Vasuli, everyone knows this far, it doesn't say Vasuli Mikdash, Veshachanti Besocham, you shall make for me a temple that I shall dwell in the temple. That's what it should say. Why does it say, you shall make for me a dwelling place and I will dwell within them? So everybody knows why, because the point of the Shekhinah is that the Shekhinah rests inside all of us. Make for me a holy space, make for me a holy abode, and I will rest in the Neshama. Or by Zablovs, it's totally not, I shouldn't say it's not related to this year. It is. He said a beautiful idea, which I'm going to repeat again, but I just heard it this morning. I actually never heard him say it before. And it was so nice. He was talking about, and we're coming up to Adar. I know it's Erev Adar Aleph, but still, Adar. So he was talking about the four, I wasn't even planning to say this because I mentioned his Ashir that I was listening to, and he said a very nice idea. Before we come to Pesach, there are Arba Parshios. We have Arba Parshios, four Parshios, two before Purim and two before Pesach, and this prepares us somehow spiritually for Pesach. So yes, there are Arba Parshios. So the first one is Parsha Shkalim. Now each one has its own reason. We measure out the silver to counteract the silver that Haman told Achashverosh he'll pay in order for the rights to kill the Jews. Parsha Zachor is very obvious. It's Erev Purim. Haman was Ha'agagi from Agag, so we fulfill the mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did to us before we celebrate the salvation. Parsha Para. Why do we read Parsha Para? Because before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because those who are coming to bring the Korban Pasa Mizbeach could not be Ola Leragel. They could not come up to the Beit HaMikdash in a state of Tamei the Mace, ritual impurity. They had to undergo the process of spiritual purification, spiritual cleanliness, Tahara, with the ashes of the Paraduma. So to remember that in the Ban Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam, Pesach was not Nebuch, this little Zeruah bone on a plate, is a remembrance of what was. You went to the Beis HaMikdash, you makabel the Pnei Shechina, you brought your Korban Pesach, but you could only bring the Korban Pesach in a state of purity. Parashas Para. So we read about the Paraduma. It's from Parashas Chukas, Parak Yurchas, in the book of Bamidbar. We read the Paraduma to remind us of what we would have to do if the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. And finally, Parashas Achodesh. Parashas Achodesh is Shmos, Parak Yurbeis, Psukim, Aleph through Chof. I believe, Aleph through Chaf, and HaChodesh is Alachar, Mosh Chodashim. And what does Rashi say? What Chodesh is it? Nisan. Right. So Rabbi Zavlov said something so beautiful, which I never heard him say it before, which doesn't mean he didn't say it before, he probably did, it just means I never heard it. He said, or I don't remember hearing it. He said, these four parshios represent our journey to spiritual purity to prepare for Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim, Geula Mitzrayim, we should say the exodus from Egypt and the redemption from Egypt was not just a physical redemption, it was a spiritual redemption. So he says, first what we need to do, Parshas Shkalim. Parshas Shkalim is taking a half a shekel. It's a coin. It's a physical entity. It's money. But what did they use with all the half shekel? They bought it for communal sacrifices, for korbanos. So that teaches that we must, in this world, take our gashmis and make it ruchnias. When we take our gashmis, when we take a coin, when we take money, but we use it for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, when we use it for the purchase of the korbanos, we're showing that the purpose of gashmis in this world is avodas Hashem, is spirituality. So first we have to show that everything that Hashem bestows upon us in the physical realm is used for spirituality. Then Parshas Zachar, then we have to slay, it actually ties in exactly what we're speaking about, you have to slay the Ratzon of the Yetzer Hara. Parshas Zachar is Amalek, Mechias Amalek. So Amalek doesn't only represent the nation of Amalek who wants to come and destroy Yimach Shem V'Zechem, it also represents the evil that resides within each of us. And a person has to slay their Yetzer Hara, and you have to conquer, you can't slay him, that's the wrong word. You can't conquer the Yetzer. Vayachlosh Yehoshua es Amalek v'es Amalek v'charv. That's what you could do to the Yetzer Hara. You could try and weaken him. You could try and conquer him. So then we come to Parshas Zachar, and a person has to know that he is in a battle for life, spiritual life with the Yetzer. But he can subdue him and he can conquer him. Spiritual redemption, spiritual fortitude. Then you come to Parshas Para. Now, once you channel all your gashmis to Avodas Hashem, Parshas Shkalim, and you are aware of the battle with the Yetzer Hara, and you are a formidable opponent, and you're able to conquer him, at least in that sign, Ezu Gibra Kovish is Yetzer. Now you're ready to come to spiritual Tahara, which is Parshas Para. I'm ready to be cleansed to come before you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then Parshas HaChodesh, you're a new person. Chodesh is Chadash. Now you're totally a new person, and then you are ready to celebrate the Yom Tov of Yetziah and Gula Mitzrayim, the leaving and the redemption from Egypt. Very, very beautiful. That was very beautiful. So here, that's really ties in exactly to what we're talking about, because you have to identify what level of yourself wants or does not want to do. And if you identify that you don't want to do a mitzvah or you do want to do an aveira, then you have to realize that's not your innermost will. Your innermost will only wants to do Atzon Hashem because your innermost will is a part of Hashem. So it can't want something contrary to the essence of Ka'etzem HaShemayim L'Tohar, Pashas Mishpatim. We don't know what it means exactly, but they saw some vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the essence of the heaven and purity. So that resides inside each one of us. So of course we want to only do good. The layer covering that inner will of the eye, of which it is said, our will is to do Yiru. So the first layer is the point of the Shekhinah. That rests inside every Jewish neshama. The next layer covers it up, and that's the inner will of the eye. So there's an inner will of the eye, and the inner will of the eye is, I want to do your will, Hashem. Our will is to do your will. So the first, most deepest essence is the point of the Shekhinah. Around that is Ritzoneinu Lasot Ritzoncha. Then there's the third outermost layer. That's the eye. That's the eye, that layer that chooses to do opposite of Hashem's will, Chas Hashem. And it is referred to as the Nefesh HaBehamis. We know we all have an animalistic instinct within ourselves. And it is the Yetzer Hara. It is both the Nefesh HaBehamis and the Yetzer Hara. So we have three wills. The inner is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. The one on top of that is, I have an I. I still have an identity. I still have what I want to do, but what I want to do is what you want me to do. The third and the outermost layer, which covers everything up, Kisui, Amalek, Kisei is not Shalem, because Rabbi Zaglav says in a totally different shir that Amalek brings Kisui to the world. Amalek ties in perfectly. Amalek covers up all the goodness in the world. And the third outermost layer is what is opposite of Hashem's will. That is the eye that is contrary to Ratzon Hashem. And this is synonymous with both the Nefesh HaBehamis, the animalistic instinct, as well as the Yetzer. So when a person sometimes like Rabbi Zaglav was speaking about Mishpatim, social laws. So he was saying that in Torah, Hashkafa, there is no separation between civil law and religious law. Civil law is religious law. Parashas Mishpatim is all civil law, but that's religious law. In other cultures, civil laws were different than religious law. So he was saying that if you have, let's say, a gathering of adults, and everyone consents to be there, and they are not hurting anybody else through their actions, so he said, so they could act like animals. They're not doing anything wrong according to their civil law. Civil law is different. So everyone consents to be there. They're not taking abuse or harming children. So he said, so you want to act like animals? You could act like animals. In Yahadus, it's totally different. We cannot pave the way. Even if you're not hurting anyone else, you're hurting your own neshama, and you're creating a great transgression, a force of evil against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So in Torah law, civil law and religious law are one and the same. Mishpatim is full of civil law. Who cares if the ox gores, if he's a one-time gorer, a habitual gorer, if the owner was warned, if the owner wasn't warned, is he a shomer chinam, a shomer sachir, whatever, what does it have to do with Torah? Tell me the Torah, I'm the Lord God. Tell me about Yom Kippur. Tell me, be elevated, k'toshim to you, kikadoshini. What does it have to do with anything? It has a lot to do, because in Yahadu, civil law and religious law are one and the same. They are the same. You can't have one without the other, because our entire life is a life of what does Hashem want from me, whether it is a civil law or it is a religious law. They're one and the same. So when we want to do the opposite of Hashem's will, we are not tapping into our point of Shechina, and we're not tapping into Ritzoneinu Lasor Ritzoncha. We're tapping into the Nefesh HaBehamis, the animalistic instinct, and the Yetzer Hara. In every area that one confronts, these three forces either want to do an act or want to avoid an act. So whatever the situation is, whatever area you are in, either each of these three is either going to want to do the act. So let's say it comes up to, I don't know, learning Torah, davening bizman, with kavana, lashon nekiya, keeping the laws of kashrus. So the point of Shechina will want to do that. The ritzonei l'asor ritzon cha'aro later will also want to be osek. And the outer layer will try and find ways to get you to sway from the proper path and to stray from what you should be doing. All of our work with Midos depends on contemplating and becoming intimately familiar with these forces. So he says it's not enough to do Tikkun HaMidos. You have to recognize and identify these three forces. In every Midah, in every aspect of Avoda you want to improve, you must first discover the factors that are influencing you and motivating you. And this has been really a theme of the Sefer. Not only how we act, but he's spoken about it many, many times. What is the motivation behind what we do? Why are we motivated to do something? And it seems to be very strongly that his whole mahalach is that once you identify the motivation, you can better either conquer the Yetzer Hara or strengthen the Yetzer Hara. But if you don't know the motivation, he has told us many times, you're not going to be successful in your Avodas Hashem. Okay, so let's see. We will now take the attribute of anger. It's interesting. The first example he picks is anger. Now, there is so much to be said about anger. Kala kois, kol mine gehem sholtimbo. Kala kois kilo oved avodah zara. The Ramban speaks extensively about anger. Ramban, in his Shema Bini Musa Avicha, Val Titos Torsi Mecha letter to his son. According to the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu sin at Mei Meriva, which is also in Parshas Chukas, right after the Paraduma, Perachof. I said, Paradum is Perek Yud Ches. It's Perek Yud Ches. I'm correcting myself. Moshe Rabbeinu sin in Parshas Chukas, Parachof, according to the Rambam, was Kaas. And according to Rashi, in Matos, was also Kaas. Not Rashi and Chukas. Rashi Chukas says he was told to speak to the rock, he hit the rock. Rashi later, by the war with Midian, when Moshe does not know the halachos of Tevilas Kelim from the Goyim. So Rashi says, Balaklal Kaas, Balaklal Ta'us. When Moshe came into the category, Laklal Ta'us, Once he entered the realm of anger, Bala called Taos. When a person enters the realm of anger, they're already in the realm of making mistakes. You say things you shouldn't have said, you behave in ways you shouldn't have behaved, you post things on a post or a message that you should never have posted. When a person becomes angry, like Chazal say, he is like he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the words that we say in this week's parasha, actually, 23:1, we have an azhara from not being mekabel lashon hara. We're not allowed to accept lashon hara, negative wicked speech. Aspect of that is kas, and also by the ger lo sona velo secha netzana ki gerim hayisam. In parakhov beis, Rashi says onas dvar. Well, there is so much focus. I know those are narrowly defined as kas, but the way we express kas is through our mouths generally, and there is much to be said on kas. The kitzur, the Rambam says, so the Rambam holds Moshe was punished by chukas. He didn't go into Eretz Yisrael because of kas. Shimuna hamorim min hazalaza notzila chamayim hamin hasalaza notzila chamayim. According to the Ramban in his famous letter to his son, which he says you should read once a week, the beginning is all about the midah meguna, the deplorable, terrible trait of anger. Chazal say it's like you worship the avodah zarah. All kinds of gehenim, all kinds of hell descends upon a person when he becomes angry, and the words that are spoken can never be taken back. We will now, by the ka'as, it's interesting because we touched upon Rabbi Zavlef, Amalek brings kisui to the world. Amalek covers things up. That's why he says kisei is not shalem. It's paragid zayin, posuk tes zayin, in b'shalach with Rashi. Why does it say Kiyar al Keska Mechalma Shamba Malik Midor Dar? It says that the throne of God is incomplete as long as a Malik is in this world. So Rabbi Zavlev says the throne, the Kisei of Hashem, is written Chaf Samech. There's no Aleph. Why? Because that's the shosh of Kisui, covered up. What a Malik introduces into this world is that God is covered up from us. You can't see Hashem, so to speak. That's what a Malik wants. Kisui. Ka'as is Chaf Ayin Samech. You could say the Ayin is Ayin, which stands for I. It's literally the letter I. Chaf Samech. So what happens when a person gives into Kaas is his eye, he's blinded. He's totally covered up. The reality is hidden from his eye. Now, in this case, it's because of his own deplorable midos. Kaas is when the Ayin is Kisui. You have pulled the wool over your own eyes. And a person acts in the most terrible, damaging, frightening, destructive, the great Ali Shur. Excuse me, Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal writes in Zriyo Binyan Bechinuch that a light spanking, no one take parenting lessons from this, maybe it was different 50, 70 years ago, but a light spanking is far better than harsh screaming. The harsh screaming terrorizes the child so much, whereas sometimes a small, I'm not giving you advice, a small patch on the hand has much less of an impact. We're not talking about, God forbid, abusing children, Chalid V'chas, everyone understands that, but a harsh screaming terrorizes the child so much, it can sometimes stay with them for life. Like Rashi says, Balakol Kaas, Balakol Taos. Once a person enters into the realm of anger, they enter the realm of making terrible mistakes. Oh, what I was starting to say is that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that for all midos, you must be in the middle path, except for two, Gaiva and Kaas. Although Avigdor Miller, recent Kuntra, speaks about Gaiva and how it's important to have Gaiva in your Avodas Hashem. You have to be proud of who you are as a Jew, and you have to be proud of doing the mitzvos. But in general, negative Gaiva, and certainly Kas is never good. We're not talking about a display of Kas externally. We're talking about Rachman al-San Chu Kas. The Rambam writes, a person should never be on the Shvil Hazav. You should not be in the middle path for those midos. You should never have a trait of them. But that is a very brief introduction to Kas. I'll now go to the Sefer. We will now take the attribute of anger as an example and discuss it. So I think in my mind this is very, very simplistic, and I don't particularly appreciate the use of such a terrible midah, which is discussed on less than regular achas, but I'm reading through the Sefer, so I'm going to read it. I don't think it's a good example. If you get angry, your avodah is to contemplate, usually after the event, because at the time the anger is strong and you will not have much control. From which ratzon did this anger come? So again, I don't love this example so much. I think if a person has a real problem with anger, so before you even figure out what the ratzon is, just you have to figure out how to control yourself or move away from the point of departure, seek professional help. But okay, it could lead to, God forbid, abuse, whether it's chas v'shalom physical, God forbid, emotional. Okay, but I'm just reading the sefer, okay? From which ratzon did this anger come? So let's just say what you have to do is try and identify, according to the sefer, what is motivating me to behave a certain way? Did Hashem want me to get angry? So clearly the answer is generally no. Did it come from the inner eye? Or is it perhaps just the outermost eye that chose anger? So again, he went through the three layers. One, did Hashem want me to do this? That is the point of the Shekhinah. Two, go to the next layer. Did it come from the inner eye, Ritzoneinu La'asot Ritzoncha? Or perhaps is it just the outermost eye that chose anger? Okay. Of course, you must work gradually, but we will speak of the goal. And that's it. He really moves on. So I don't think it's the best example. But fine. Especially because the Rambam is so adamant that this is such a terrible midah. Other midahs, you could be in the middle path. But this midah, he says, a person should never have. Fine. Of course, you must work gradually, but we will speak of the goal. So what's the goal in identifying why do I want to do something? You must consider every day. Like, is this for Toel? So I'll tell you, it just happened. I was thinking to myself, should I share this with my husband or not share with my husband? We were involved a little, but I was trying to think to myself, what's the toelus in sharing this? Is there a toelus in repeating this piece of information? So I think that's trying to consider every detail and what is motivating me. Okay, toelus is what's the end point, what's the goal that will come from this? But we have to try and be more cognizant in our actions. Of course, you must work gradually, but we will speak of the goal. You must consider every detail of your life. Torah, tefillah, ma'isim tovim, good deeds, eating, neutral matters, etc. So what the Mechaber is saying is that we must engage in this aspect of avoda, introspection and self-analysis, not only in regard to midos, not only in regard to one area of avodah Hashem, in all aspects of your life. When it comes to your relationship with Torah, when it comes to your relationship with tefillah, the performance of tefillah. Rabbi Victor Miller, in one of the recent kunchos, he's talking about the importance of I don't have Ami, but I was smiling. See, he has a sense of humor. And did anyone see this one? He's talking about, he quotes a Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim is a very famous mashal. You know the Chavetz Chaim's mashal about tefillah? Let's say you get to modim and you haven't been concentrating. You know, it's very famous. And when you get to modim and you haven't been concentrating, you're almost at the end of your davening. So the Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal, a woman in the marketplace with a basket of apples. Let's say thieves come and they steal her apples. And then she realizes she only has a quarter basket left. But now she wakes up and she sees what's happening. Is she going to let them steal the rest of the apples? No, she should protect whatever's left. So he says that you should protect whatever's left. You got up to modim, the Chavetz Chaim says. We weren't concentrating until now. Okay, work on it, but don't let go everything that you still have. You have Sim Shalom, you have the end of Shema Esrei, whatever you still have, Al Kula, Modim, not in that order. So Avigdor is talking about, he's referring to that, he says, let's say you're davening, and the whole time you're on a trip to an African safari. Your mind is on the African safari, and all of a sudden you get up to Modim, and you realize, wow, I'm really in my sitter, I'm not on an African safari. So what should you do? You should start concentrating now. So what I think the Mechaber is trying to teach us is that we need to live lives of greater introspection. You must consider every detail of your life. So we consider every detail of our life. Torah. Maybe we consider details about the external. Sometimes when we make a simcha, Baruch Hashem, Kein, Yer, Bubi, Yisrael, we consider so many external details. Just think about that for a minute. Do we consider as closely, do we analyze as closely the details of our avodas Hashem, our words, our enunciation of tefillah, our care when it comes to Zman Tefillah, our kindness to others? Are we so medactic in all those details, like you are with the color scheme, and the hem, and the dressmaker, and the tie, and the flowers, and the band, and the music playlist, and the take-home, and the menu? It's a big mussar. It's a big mussar. I'm obviously talking to myself. I think that's a pretty good example, because that's something that generally most people, but not everyone, pays a lot of attention to the details. And I think it's a question, are we examining every detail of my life the way I examine something that is so external? And that might not help me in the Olam HaEmes that much. Now, I know you're going to say it's for the Mitzvah Simchas Chasim Akala. I understand. And people need to make parnasa. So when we support those venues, it's true. You don't need to make parnasa 100%. And you should have in mind the kavana that you're helping a couple build a bais Nehemah B'Yisrael 100%. But also, we can't deflect Musar. And I'm talking to myself. That's a tool of the Yetzer Hara to start giving all kinds of excuses of why it doesn't apply. Do we really pay so much detail to our Avodas Hashem as we pay to something like that? It's an interesting question. You must consider every detail of your life. Torah, Tefillah, Maisim Tovim, eating, neutral matters. By the way, Rav Freifeld says there's no such thing as neutral. There's no such thing as neutral. He says neutral matters, but nothing is really neutral. It's either Yetzer Tov, motivated, or the other way. And examine each act, and you should see if this is positive or negative. That is to say, who wants to do this and who does not, meaning the who is in quotes in the Sefer. Who meaning which aspect of myself wants to do this and which aspect of myself doesn't want to do this. This exercise will afford you great clarity in life. You will know which acts foster closeness to Hashem, in other words, stemming from the motivation of the presence of God within you, since these acts stem from the inner will to do Hashem's will, and you will know which acts are harmful. You will also identify the acts that are positive, but performed with the wrong motive. So sometimes we do something that we should be doing, but not for the right reasons. I still think that's a higher level, because mitoch shelo lishma balishma, and not doing it at all. I'll give you an example. Lashon Hara. Let's say you refrain from speaking Lashon Hara because you're afraid someone's going to send your text around the world and you don't want to be embarrassed. You refrain from Lashon Hara because you don't want your boss to hear and you're going to lose your job. Whatever. So that's not really the right motivation. That's not why you should refrain from Lashon Hara. You should refrain from Lashon Hara. We just quoted this week's parasha, Perachav Gemma Pasach Av with Rashi. There's an Azhara, a separate Azhara to be Mekabel Lashon Hara. You should not speak or accept or hear or engage Lashon Hara because it causes Raya who says it is a terrible thing to do. It's an Avera. It puts distance between you and the Ribbon Shalom because the Torah says don't do it. That's the only motivation. That's Ratzon Hashem. But let's say you don't speak Lashon Hara because you don't want someone to forward your text and you're afraid it's going to go back to the person you spoke about. That's definitely not the right motivation. But Lamaisa, you still did not post something that should not have been posted. So even though it was the wrong motivation, you have to work on your motivation. But at least you refrained in that moment from posting something that should not have been posted. Okay? So that still serves some, and again, mitoch shelo lishma balishma. We had Parshas Bo a few weeks ago, Perek Tazayin. Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvah Tazayin. Etzem lo sishbru, but why can't you break a bone in the Korban Pasach? Because you're not allowed to act like an animal. If you act like an animal, the Korban Pasach says, like dogs or chickens in the marketplace who grovel at their food, a person might become to act like that in all the other areas of their life. So we see that even if something is not 100% lishma, I'm not saying you should serve God with the wrong motivation. That's not what I mean. But at least you didn't speak Lashon Hara. That's a pretty good thing that happened in the world. Lashon Hara was not spoken. You will know which acts foster closeness to Hashem and stem from the inner will, and which acts are harmful. You will identify acts that are positive but performed with the wrong motivation. Okay. Any area you are trying to improve must be clearly analyzed. So cheshbon and nefesh, both during the time set aside from contemplation. So in other words, every day you should have time set aside for contemplation. And when confronting issues daily. You know why that's so funny? Did you see the fly? Because we're talking about the Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara says,
it's like,
yeah?
A fly on the table of a tzaddik or something?
No, I can't hear.
It's like a fly on the table of a tzaddik. Like, you'll never see a fly on the table.
Maybe. The Gemara says that the fly just flew here. And I was even thinking to myself when I saw it, that's so random because it's not summer and there's no food and it's like so out of season. And we're talking about the Yetzer Hara. What?
Maybe because I'm here.
I can't hear.
Maybe because I'm here.
Because you're here?
Yeah.
No. So I was thinking to myself something so interesting. Wow, flew in. Here we are talking about the Yetzer Hara and the wrong motivation for doing something. And the outer essence is the Yetzer Hara. And here comes the fly. And the Gemara Mamish says, he flew away. He was just here for that sentence. I don't know where he is. But the Gemara Mamish says that the Yetzer Hara is like a fly at the entrance to the heart. Why? If you're sitting at a table in the summer, imagine, at a barbecue, When you shoo the fly away, what happens? How long is it going to go away for? Very short. Not only is he going to go away for very short if you're enjoying hamburgers and grilled chicken outside, but he's going to call all his friends. And you could try and shoo them away as much as you want, but they're going to keep coming back. So the Gemara says that the fly is like a Yetzer Hara that, no, I'm sorry. The Yetzer Hara is a fly that sits at the entrance to the chambers of the heart. So we had a real life example. He came in to show us, I'm here. He's at the entrance to all of our heart. That's pretty cool. And we have to therefore clearly analyze any area we're trying to improve, both during time set aside for contemplation, so your Cheshbon and Nefesh times every day, we all have those, right? Into the schedule on the daily calendar, it says time for Cheshbon and Nefesh. I'm joking, I don't have that in my calendar. Does anyone actually have that? But you're supposed to have time set aside for contemplation. And when confronting the issue in daily life. So the times when it is an intellectual analyzation, and times when it's halacha l'maisa. So now I'm in the situation, what should I do? So this reminded me of, I'm going to quote from the Maseilas Yesharim. So what we are speaking about, I'll tell you why I thought of the Maseilas Yesharim. You'll hear, because I'm going to quote the Maseilas Yesharim. He is buried. He has the tremendous chus of being buried. If you've ever been to Sion, he's buried right next to Rabbi Akiva. We were in Sfar on my boys' bar mitzvah, Tveria, on my boys' bar mitzvah trip overlooking the Kinneret 4.5 years ago. I went to Kivrei Tzadikim in the north, and right next to Rabbi Akiva is the Tzion of the Ramchal. So what we have said is, you must know with great clarity which acts foster closeness to Hashem, which acts are harmful, what is positive but being performed with the wrong motive. You must analyze every action, both during time set aside for contemplation and when confronting the daily issue in life, and it will all afford you great clarity because you will come to examine the act and see if it's positive or negative. So this very much reminded me of the Maseilas Yesharim, Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is Beveyer Chalkei Hazihirus. We're going to go through 2 pages, Bli Neder, not tonight, but I mean we're going to go through 2 pages of the Maseilas Yesharim. We're in the 3rd chapter. Beveyer Chalkei Hazihirus, the dimensions of Zihirus, being vigilant. Hine Harotza Lepakech Alatzmo, Shtayim Hena Hashkafos Hatzrichoso. If someone wants to be mipakeach, from the word pokeach ivrim, you want to open your eyes. We just spoke about Amalek and Kas, kisui ayin. When a person gives into anger, what happens is his vision is clouded, kisui ayin. He can't see anything. So let's say you want to be pakeach, that's from the word pokeach ivrim. You want to open your eyes, meaning you want clarity. That's exactly what the Mechaber is saying. We need clarity in life. Shtayim hine hashkafos hatzrichoso. So what do you need to do? You need to have 2 hashkafos in life, 2 outlooks. Ponder. Ha'achas, so you sponin mahu atov ha'amiti. You're going to see Mamish Tyson exactly to what we're up to in the Sefer. One, you have to pay attention. What is the true good? Tov ha'amiti. She'yivchar boho adam. You have to identify what is the true good that man must choose. V'hara ha'amiti she'yanus mimenu. And what is the bad from which you must flee? It says in the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, you read it. Rabbi Emma Miyosha, do you remember he was once in a house, it was Shabbos, he was visiting a certain town, and the husband, I don't know, a water carrier, a wood chopper, or something, he came and he started to speak Lashon Hara, and the Chofetz Chaim ran to his wife, Chofetz Chaim ran out of the house like he was fleeing from a fire. So you have to see, one, what is the good, the true good that a person should choose? The hara amiti sheyanus mimeno. It doesn't just say you should walk away, yanus. By Yonas Achutza, Yosef ran outside. You must flee, like it's Ashes Potiphar holding on to your garments. Vahashnia, alamaisim asheru osa. So the first thing you have to do, first identify what is real good, what is true good, tov amiti, and what is ra amiti. General category, is this good or is it not good, is it bad? Vahashnia, but you also must consider, alamaisim asheru osa, the deeds that you are doing. Liros imhe mikala tov o mikala ra. So now that I know what's good and what's bad, now I have to look at my specific action and determine, is this in the category of good or is this in the category of bad? Vizeh b'shas ma'isa v'shalo b'shas ma'isa. It's mamas ties into our sefer so much. It's unbelievable. Maybe he had the Maseilas Yesharim in mind. I have no idea. Vizeh b'shas ma'isa v'shalo b'shas ma'isa. You have to undergo this contemplation, says the Maseilas Yesharim, both at the time of the action and at the time when it's not the action. Isn't that what he just says? I told you, Imam says this here, both during time set aside for contemplation and when confronting the issue in daily life. Okay, Bishas Maise, at the time of the action. Shalo Yasa Shum Maise Miblisha Yishko Osa Bomo Azne Zos Haydiya. Our Mechaber told us, consider every detail in life. The Masilas Sharim says, at the time of the Maise, at the time of the action, you should not do anything. Shalo Yasa Shum Maise, nothing. Don't take the condiments out of the fridge. Miblisha Yishko Osa Bomo Azne Zos Haydiya. You, without contemplating and weighing on the scales of knowledge, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? Shalai says, Shum Maisa. Vishalo, but that's at the time of the Maisa. Vishalo Bashas Maisa, when it's not at the time of Maisa. Shayala Lefun of Zichuan Kla Masaf. It should come up before you, a remembrance in general of your deeds. Vishko Osam, you should weigh them. You should make a Chashbon and Nefesh. Not at the time of Maisa. Think of your deeds and weigh them. I just saw it again, the fly. Kemo Kain, so weird that it's here, no? Kemo Kain, b'moznea mishka, zeliros ma yesh ba mehara, l'man yidcha. So when you have your actions on the scales, you should see, is there something bad in what I'm doing? And if so, yidcha. So what should you do? Push it away. Umam minatov. And what from this is good? Lahasmid bo, from the word masmid, lahatmid, tamid, to be consistent in this area, ulihischazik bo, and to strengthen yourself in that good area. So every action you do, is this bad or is it good? At the time of Maisa, not at the time of Maisa. If you identify that there is a nakuda of bad that I should not be doing, so you have to push it away. And if you identify that there is a nakuda of tov ha'amiti, you have to strengthen it. And to become a masmid in that area. The im yimtza behem min hara, and if you find something bad in what you're doing, as yisponin, you should be misponing, pay attention, the yachkor besichlo, you should delve deep in your seichel, in your mind, eza tachbula yasa lasur min hara hahu vili taher mimenu. You should ask for yourself, what tactic, what approach can I take in order to turn away from this bad action and to purify myself from it? That ties back into Rabbi Zev Lev. Shkalim, purify all of your physical actions and make them avodas Hashem. Zachor, conquer the Yetzer Hara. Sli is the wrong word. Conquer the Yetzer Hara. Para, you're ready to be purified. Achodesh, you're a new person. So you should identify the deed. You should delve deeply into it. And if you find that there is something negative in what you're doing, so you should identify what tactic you can use to stay away from the bad and to purify yourself. And this matter, the Gemara, the rabbis, the sages of blessed memory, let us know. The Gemara says in Maseches Eruvin 13b. It's where the Gemara says that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were debating for 3.5 years. What was the famous debate? Mutav lo la'adam mishanivra me'an shalo nivra. What did they debate? Was it better for man to have been created or not to be created? And finally, they come to the conclusion that it's better not to be created. Mutav lo la'adam mishalo nivra me'an shalo nivra. It was better not to be created than been created. But since he was created, you're already here. Yefashvesh b'masav. Since you're already here, then you better examine your deeds. Even if it was better not to be created, but Lamaisa, here you are. So now you quote the Gemara. Noach lo adam shelo nivra, yoser mishanivra. They finally concluded this world is a world of pitfall and travail and dangers and evil forces that try and stray us from the proper path. It'll be better not to be created. Let the neshama stay and the otzar neshamos. But that's not Hashem made the world. Hashem put us here to be misakin ourselves. Hashem gave us a great zchus of being mitaher. But now that you're created, yifashvish b'masav. Va'amelei yimashmish b'masav. So there are those who say, now that he was created, which is what we all must do, because Baruch Hashem, we were all created. Every day is a new opportunity in Avodas Hashem. That's why the last stage, shkalim, purify all the gashmis to make it ruchnias. What does that mean? When you do your shopping, you should think, I'm buying this food. Food is base kashmias. L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. Or l'kavod Echnasos Archim. Or so that my children have things to eat in the house. Or to keep my own body healthy. Forget everybody else. Because if I'm not healthy, I can't serve Hashem. So when I buy food, I'm taking the shkalim and I'm making that gashmias item into something ruchnias. It's now avodas Hashem. If I don't have fuel, the car can't go without gas. I can't go without fuel. So buying food is now avodas Hashem. Then Parsha Zachar. Then I have to think to myself, oh, I have a Yetzirah. What's my Yetzirah? I have many. We don't have to announce all of our Yetzirahs. But what's my Yetzirah? I don't know. This is very silly. But when I'm buying food, the cashier was very rude. And so I don't feel like saying thank you. Okay. Fine. So I'm using the food example, in other words. So now I have to conquer my HR. If she was rude, that's her problem. I still have to make a Kaddish Hashem, and I have to say thank you very much. Parsha Zachar. Parsha's Par. Now I'm ready to be purified. Kosh Baruch Hu. I bought the food, the Shem Shemayim. I overcame my tendency to be mean back to that person. Now I'm ready to be fair. Now you're a Chodesh. You're a new person. So you have to be Mashmish B'Masav. Every day you have opportunities to do this. And you have to be Mashmish B'Masav. You understand why it leads up to Gulas Mitzrayim. Because B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam L'Rosas Atzmu Kilu Yatzam Mitzrayim. You left Egypt. If you left Egypt, you underwent the whole journey from Galus to Geula, from Shibur, from enslavement to Avadim Ayinu L'Par Mitzrayim V'Achshav Kervanu Makom Kodesh Baruch Hu to his service. So therefore, before we come to celebrate Gula Mitzrayim, we need to undergo this program. Fine. Yifash Resh B'Masav, there are those who say Yimash Resh B'Masav. So it's translated by examine the deeds or probe your deeds. So don't ask questions what the difference, because that's exactly what the Maseiros Hashem is going to explain. What's the difference between Yifash Resh and Yimash Resh? Okay. V'tira sheshnei halashonos heim shtei asharvas tovas umalios ma'od. And the Ramchal says, you will see that these two differences in Lashon are actually two different warnings. It's not the same thing. They're two different very good warnings, and they have a great purpose. Umalios ma'od, like from the word aliyah. They have a very good, important to'alos. So they'll bring you to a higher place. What are the differences? I just looked at the clock. Ki hine ha'pishbush b'ma'asim hu. What is yifashfish b'ma'asav? Lachakor al klal hamasim ulehis boningbo. To dig into lachakor on the klal hamasim. Look at overall the general picture of your deeds. Ulehis boningbo. Pay attention. Don't just be like a robot. Don't just be like a clod of dirt going through this life. Pay attention in general to your deeds. Hanimtza behem maisim asher lo yeyasu. Is there something in general in your deeds that you are doing that you should not be doing? Maybe something in general in your life is not going according to the mitzvot of Hashem. Remember, Rabbi Zavlov says, in Yahadus, civil law and religious law are one and the same. That's why Parshas Mishpatim is in the Chumash. Because it's very important to know what's the law of an ox gores. And if it's a habitual gore, once, twice, three times, or if it was the first time it happened. It's not random. There's not a difference. It's one and the same. It's Torah. So you have to know, am I going in every action that I do in general, though, in my life? Al pi mitzvos Hashem v'chukav. Am I going according to the commands of God and His chukim? Ki kol asher yimatzeh me'ela yivareh min ha'olam. If you find that what you are doing is contrary to Avodas Hashem and contrary to Ratzon Hashem, remember the Mechaber says we have three layers, and if you find you're acting according to the Nefesh HaBehamis and the Yetzer Hara, you have to banish this from the world. Achamishmushu. So Yifashfish is the klal. In general, how am I living my life? The broader picture of how I live my life. Achamishmushu, hachakiru afilu b'maisim atovim atzmam, lachkor viliros hayesh bininam eze pnia asher lo tova, o eze chelak rashi tztarech lasiru lavaro. Mishmush is something else, to investigate, even in the good deeds that you're doing. So now you've determined, Fishbush b'masav, in general, I think I'm on the right path. So, I don't know, either somebody thinks that's a Godot Dor, or they have a lot of work to do. Because whatever path we're on, we could always be in a better path. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this world. However, the mishmush is to do a chakira, an investigation, even in your good deeds, to investigate and to see, is there in these matters some aspect, some corner, some nekuda that is not good? Or is there some aspect that's bad? And perhaps you can remove that and blot it out. Even good. So I'm going to give you an example that I thought of. Let's say, Baruch Hashem, a person davens every day. And they make sure to daven Bisman Tefillah and Bisman Kriya Shema. And they wash until Sedaim in the morning. And after they put on their shoes. And they don't talk from Baruch Sha'amar through the end of Shemona Esrei. But they always daven every day from a phone. They're davening Bisman, and they're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they can't be bothered to get a sitter, and it's just faster, and it's more convenient. So The klal hadvarim is that Baruch Hashem, you're davening every day. You love the b'chol v'avchem. Is a 11:13 devarim. Is yavodah shebelev. Have I omer zohi tefila. So you're praying to Hashem every day. And you're medachtek asman tefila. Now I know it's a fun example because maybe a person is medachtek, but it's an illustrative example. You're medachtek on this proper zman and on zman kriya shema, and you washed your hands and you're dressed properly. You're not davening your pajamas. I'm not talking about a chola who's potter. Okay, but. And you don't put the phone on airplane mode, so the whole time you're davening, all the messages are coming in at the same time. So you're swiping them up and you're not reading them. But is that the most optimal way to be davening Kol Shachar? So you're laughing a little because it sounds silly, but it's a good illustration of the klal might be okay, but the pratim within the klal might not be okay. Now, if you think it's a bad example, fine. What does Rabbi Zavlov say? It's my mashal, I made it up, so I could say whatever I want. But I actually think it's a very good example. The klal is I'm davening every day. And I have a mitzvah to daven. And it's bizman. And I'm dressed properly. And I'm not talking when I'm not supposed to be talking. But is that really what Hashem wants? Really, if we're like intellectual. I'm not talking about you lost in the forest. And then you wouldn't have a phone. I'm not talking about you got stuck in a shah sarchak and you didn't have a sitter. I'm talking about every day that's how you daven. Is there a more optimal way that the prat of the klal of tefillah could be fulfilled? Yes. Put the phone in the other room. Put it either on vibrate off or on airplane mode. Take a sitter and daven the same way you would, with the same smile, with the same clothing, with the same materials you dive, without the messages coming in on the top of the phone every minute. So I think it's actually a very illustrative example. What you have to look at is the klal, the general principle of how I live my life. And if there's something not good in the klal, then remove it. But even if the klal is good, now you have to start looking at the pratim, the fine details. And you have to see if there's something in the fine details, eze pnia, asher lo tova, o eze chelak rashi, yitztarich lahasiru, u leva'ara. Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue. Oh, this is very important. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue next week. The shir shall be a schus for the aliyah neshama, for Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah Hashem, a continuous aliyah neshama, not only the learning, but please God, our avodas Hashem. That brings us closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam from these limudim. Just a calendar announcement. Next week I have a conflict, so Shir is Zoom only Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Zoom only. I'll post it on the chat. Shari will send the email. Zoom only Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Bezer Tov Hashem, Be'ezer Hashem, Chodesh Tov to all. Thank you so much, everyone. Chodesh Tov, Kol Tov, and thank you.